It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And that becomes particularly important about this time every week because we don't only just stream live on YouTube. We put all the segments up, or a lot of them, up on demand. And then people leave comments. And, well, we think it's our duty to engage with those folks who've taken the time to engage with our radio show, even if they're watching it as a YouTube video. The point is we do this.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, let's dive into it. You can watch the show on demand at Craig Hoffman on YouTube or at the Team 980. And we always start this segment with a little amuse-bouche, something to just get the palate going. And this was really funny, actually, Anthony. On last week's edition of Never Read the Comments, someone listened to all of the silly things that were said during that segment. And let's see. Let's get the screen name right here. Mo Musavi, 1533, says, "Hey, guys, let's just hit the like button when we are watching the show."
Wow.
That's really funny. No, leave comments. Leave comments too. Some of y'all would sound smarter if you just hit the like button, but you know, then this segment doesn't go anywhere. So that's not true. We put good comments in this one too. I also just a feel good to get us started here. And by the way, stay tuned for a whopper of a cool comment at the end. Like, one of the coolest things that's happened in my career was a comment that I got on a video that I'm going to share with you guys at the end of this segment. But Anthony Etheridge 415 commented on our chat with Clinton Yates last week about how the fan base and the younger fan base is really starting to emerge. And, you know, we all know what can happen generationally because of a guy like Jaden Daniels and what he has brought, the joy and the pride of like, yeah, I want to be a fan of the good team. And all of a sudden, the good team isn't just the one wearing purple, especially for Maryland kids who are in between DC and Baltimore, but the burgundy and gold too. And Anthony Etheridge, not Anthony Haney, said, "I'm a bus driver in PG County, and I can honestly say that I've never seen so many kids walking around with Commanders gear on. I think the future of the fan base is good." That's cool, man. Like, one, thanks for watching, Anthony. I hope you're watching at home, not while you're driving the bus. Maybe if you're waiting on some kids with eyes on the road, of course. But sharing that perspective, I thought was really cool, and I appreciated that.
Nah, it really is in full, like, effect.
Well, so you, for those that don't know, Anthony Haney, yes, works at Georgetown Prep, and you also work at a middle school.
Yes, my
So, like, how much more burgundy and gold are you seeing this year compared to previous years?
Oh, I'm seeing a ton. And I see kids come out to camp. I see every time I come into the building, kids are throwing up the left hand. They already know what I stand for. Left hand up, baby.
They played that. Oh, they put Bobby Wagner on the Jumbotron at the Wizards game the other night. They obviously put Jaden up, and then everyone saw that. That was cool because they played the Hail Mary. And then Jaden. And Jaden got like a standing ovation. Did you not see that?
So I saw the standing ovation. I
yeah,
didn't
they
see
played
what was on
they
the
played the Hail Mary on the Jumbotron, that and then showed Jaden, and Jaden was like giving the princess wave, if you will. Yeah, the king. He's the king. And then they put Bobby up in like two, you know, timeouts or whatever later, and they were playing left hand up. So that was a good time. As for the team itself, what do you think dominated the comments this week? Thoughts on Marshawn Lattimore and the trade? That hopefully we'll see Lattimore a week from tonight against the Eagles. Doesn't look like we're going to see him this weekend against the Steelers, but is it short term or is this long term? That was one of the things. And I got to say, I probably should have been a little more open-minded earlier in the week with how I talked about his contract. I had the facts of the case right, but the analysis is probably needed some massaging. This is what happens when things happen quickly. And you're doing live shows, you don't necessarily always say the exact right thing. But that's why I wanted to make sure that I cleared this up, not once and for all, because there's people that aren't going to see this and they'll still say that I said the wrong thing. And that's live radio, baby. But Beckler Boy 1 says, "Peters doesn't see him as a rental. He sees him as a game changer who will be paid market value for the next 2 years." Here's the thing. Marshawn's contract is not going to stay the way it is right now because the Commanders could move on after the year because there is no guaranteed money, which is why Lattimore is not going to want that. He doesn't want to be playing on consecutive, essentially, team options. His agent's going to be like, can we get some guarantees here? And that can also be converted into bonus money, and the cash flow of that is different on the player side of it. And it's actually beneficial to both sides because if they agree to a deal that has some level of guaranteed money, at least for next year, so that like if something were to happen to him in training camp, they can't just be like, well, never mind, depending on when that money might become guaranteed. But I think it's not guaranteed at all. It's not like becomes guaranteed on the third day of the league year. Like he gets a roster bonus, but it is truly a non-guaranteed deal at this point because the Saints already restructured it once. So what they would do then is move some of that to bonus money. That is obviously, hey, signing bonus, restructure bonus, whatever you want to word it. You get that money immediately. Good cash flow. That's guaranteed. We're going to guarantee X amount of this year and maybe even X amount of the year after. And we're going to add a year to the contract as well that is not guaranteed. Then now we're dealing with a 2 or 3 year deal instead of a 2 year deal that spreads out some of the cap hits. And by the way, even if it brings some of the base numbers down or pushes a higher non-guaranteed base into year three, however they do it, they can manipulate the cap to bring the cap number down, get some guaranteed money that Lattimore doesn't currently have, even if it were to technically bring the ceiling or not change the ceiling of what is on his current deal. And because the Commanders are in control, because Lattimore has no guaranteed money here, and it's not like he can say, well, if I don't like it, I'll walk. Okay, well, we'll just keep you at your current number and no guaranteed money. And that's pretty good in terms of the market value for us because he's going to be making below top corner money, which is what they hope to get in terms of it play out of him. So that's kind of where the contract is. I know that's a little wishy-washy, but it's because it's going to depend on what happens here. But it is something that the Commanders control. He's not a rental, pure rental. He could be, but unlikely. And it is going to be something that they address probably in the offseason, relatively early, like January, probably February combine is when a lot of that stuff gets done. As for the deal itself, JDC Cartier PV4RR. Look, I said it. Some of y'all got to get more concise screen names. Why do you need all those letters? Just JDC Cartier. Cool. Cartier. It's sleek. That's the point. I'll be honest for a sec. This was probably one of the fairest trades I've seen in a while in which both teams won. I think that goes a long way for future trades with other teams knowing we aren't trying to fleece, but the Eagles-Dotson trade was on them. Yeah, look, at the time, the Eagles were getting a guy who was a first-round pick 2 years ago who still has 2 years remaining on his rookie contract. That is a very valuable piece in theory. It's kind of why I'm surprised Emmanuel Forbes didn't get traded. He's got 3 years left on his rookie deal, plus a potential fifth-year option, as Dotson has as well. And he was drafted in the first round last year. You're telling me no one would give up anything? So I'm kind of curious what the plan is for Forbes. But I think that with Lattimore, like you're getting a really good player with multiple years of team control left if you want it, and that's worth something. And I always think that NFL teams, it's really hard, or NFL trades, it's really hard to kind of understand the value. Like, it is, like, good luck figuring out the trade charts. Because, Anthony, it feels like sometimes you got dudes who are, like, all pros getting traded for sixth rounders, and then dudes who are like, yeah, he's good, second round pick in return. But most of it does come down to the contracts. And that's what makes why I spent so much time on the Lattimore contract, because it's a pretty interesting one to try to judge the value of.
Yeah, I was just about to say, the Cowboys got so much slack for giving up a 4-4, a guy not a lot of people know when, there's D-Hop out there, Amari Cooper, all these other, notable and productive wide receivers.
But they need cheap talent.
Yep, they do.
And I'm not saying that it was a good deal, because Jonathan Mingo might not be the talent part, but he certainly is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is like, if you're going to do it, like, Dotson at least has shown an ability to produce in the NFL. At least that's what we thought. Obviously, it hasn't worked out very well for the Eagles this year. We'll get there later on in this Never Read the Comments, because there was also a lot of comments on Shane's call. So we'll get to that. But with Jonathan Mingo, I mean, unless their scouting department loved him coming out, I don't really get that one. I don't really get that one. That's probably an overpay. At least make it conditional. Up to a, hey, if dude catches 50 balls the rest of the year, sure. But they need cheap talent because they paid Dak a bunch of money. They paid CD a bunch of money. They got to pay Micah a bunch of money. And this is what you have to do. You have to go bargain bin shopping. But for the Commanders, it's the opposite. Like, they can go luxury shopping because they have all this cap space. They had some extra draft picks. And obviously, we heard from Adam Peters on that yesterday. More on the Lattimore trade. And speaking of Emmanuel Forbes, actually, Big Pimpin 237 says, I always appreciate your thoughts on the happenings of this team. Thank you. Though I noticed you didn't mention Forbes in the group of cornerbacks that can possibly be mentored by Marshon Lattimore. Is that because you are in agreement with a large portion of the fan base that he should be moved on from, or is it something else entirely? No, Big Pimpin 237. A sentence or a preamble or a sentence part that I never thought I'd say in my whole ass life. I am in agreement with most of the fan base. I am out on Emmanuel Forbes. I have seen enough. I think part of that is because I feel like they have seen enough, and I'm somewhat stunned that he is still on the football team. I thought there was a really good chance that he got cut to make room for Lattimore and said they cut F.A. Obata. What's the point? Is he just going to be inactive? Because if he's not, he's not playing a ton of teams for you. He's not physical. It's not working. And so unless they think in the offseason they can do a mega reset on him and give him one more shot, and then if it doesn't work out, they'll trade him like they did Dotson. I don't know, because maybe they've liked some of what he's done. I know they've liked some of what he's done. But then he gets out there again coming off the injury, and he plays six snaps a couple weeks ago because he has a terrible run fit where he just does not, I don't want to say he doesn't try hard enough, but he doesn't try correctly. I'm going to put it that way out of respect for the fact that he's an NFL player and it's a really hard game to play. But he does not play with the play style that is reminiscent of the rest of his teammates. And that is a problem. And if he's not going to do it, then what is the point? And so maybe a guy like Marshon Lattimore, former first-round pick, can reach him in a way that nobody else has. That would be cool because he's super talented. His ball skills are great. He obviously had the pick. They don't have a ton of those this year. He's got one of them, and it showed on that play. Like, he just had a really high-level understanding of what was supposed to happen. He ran the route for the receiver. Like, it was beautiful. We need that. And if that can happen, it's worth putting out there, but not at the expense of being a weak point in every other area of the game for an interception every 5 weeks. As for more, a lot of more reaction before we get to Shane from Moxon Hill, Charles Davis joined us on the breaking news of the Lattimore trade. And that was a delight for 1980C Money. You said, great clip of the short that we made out of that. And the entire interview was great. I am surprised at how well he knows the DBs. St. Juice will be fine, number three, number four, with the larger possession receivers. He should never have been on Flowers. First of all, Charles Davis, OG, he's fantastic. Love for Charles. Glad, wanted to make sure that we shouted out the Charles Davis compliment because Charles deserves it. Second of all, I do think there's a specific body type and type of player that St. Juice is significantly better on. And it is, I'm going to call it the Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Rookie, good speed, good size, not the most polished route runner. And the reason I think that's really important, one, because like a guy like Mike Williams certainly can fit into that. I think George Pickens to an extent fits into that, although he's got great speed. The burner speed is what I think worries me about the St. Juice Pickens matchup potentially this weekend. But I saw Mark Bullock point this out on a technique thing, and I'll give credit to Bullock, who, of course, used to work for The Post and The Athletic and does a great Substack if you want the nitty-gritty details of the X's and O's. But he said that St. Juice typically reads things really well, but he takes too many steps as he chops and breaks on these comebacks, which is why he's always one step late. And he's swiping at the ball, but it's already been caught, and it's, hey, good job on the rally and tackle, the identification. You didn't give up the deep ball, but how do you get there quicker and make an actual play on the football, or maybe even jump some of those and get picks? And for the most precise of route runners, that's hard because they take fewer steps. Their ability to suddenly stop, where St. Juice has got to be like, I am breaking. Now I'm going back the other way, recelerating. Like, that's a tough gig. Against a receiver like, say, Mike Williams, who does not have that acceleration, that quickness, that burst, he's going to be more on St. Juice's speed plane. And so I think against those types of receivers, Benjamin can use his length, obviously, on the 50-50 type of stuff. And if it gets into a jump ball situation, but he's also not as susceptible to some of the curls and comebacks and things that he's given up this year to the Jamar Chases of the world. Zay Flowers obviously got him when he had to run horizontally with him across the field. This is a different caliber. And I think that's been interesting talking to Will Blackman a little bit this week about this, talking to Patrick Peterson. I mean, I kind of knew Anthony when I asked Pat P about this, that his answer might not be what I think is the correct one, because Pat P was so damn good and he was so fast that it's like hard for him to fathom what it must be like to have, oh, number two corner, number one corner, I don't care. They're all the same to me. Yeah, they are to you. You're Patrick Peterson. You're going to the Hall of Fame. To Benjamin St. Juice, when you get that next year, and I think Will was the one who talked about this, like the burners, and Charles talked about this, the burners, the guys like Jamar Chase who run 4.3, that is something that is way, way different to deal with when you don't also run 4.3 and Juice does not run a 4.3.
Yeah, that's... I didn't really got too much. I think what would help St. Juice in those instances, though, would be the pass rush, where he doesn't have to worry about covering for 3-4 seconds.
And on so the stuff against like Flowers, yeah, that was a big deal. These like, look, if a corner ever gives up a crossing route on the other side of the hashes that he started on, that ain't really on him.
Yeah.
That's a communication thing. Somebody should have picked up something over the middle, or it's a pass rush thing that you're sending all out pressure that should have gotten home. And it is never a huge minus to lose on some of the routes that he lost on Flowers. That said, there are other guys who could have made it more difficult or made tackles sooner after. So again, it's not like actually he did a great job. It's just realizing there's something between great and terrible. And if Juice cannot have to spend time on the best of the best because Lattimore's covering them, that is huge. And I think the Mike Williams matchup is actually one that doesn't worry me as much. And to an extent, Pickens, although he's just so good in those 50-50 situations, and Juice is not, that definitely scares me as well. All right, continuing on and never read the comments. Shane from Oxon Hill. Anthony, do you want to play Shane from Oxon Hills call? Just so in case anyone has not heard it, one, it's always great to play for humor's sake. Two, that way everyone's on the same page. It's become famous and infamous in Hoffman Show circles. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane from Oxon Hill.
The guy had 11 touchdowns over the past 2 years. Terry McLaurin has 9. Olamide Zaccheaus had 10 catches last year. Dyami Brown had 100 yards last year. Are we a better team without Jahan Dotson? No, we're not. So stop all the baloney, man. We traded Montez Sweat, and now we have Cleveland Furl, who had 2 sacks. And Dante Fowler, who had 2 sacks. We have Austin Eckler, who is 30 years old. Like, come on, bro. Kendall Fuller is in Miami. Curtis Samuel is in Buffalo. Cam Curl is in with the Rams. And we have a guy, Adam Peters, who's bringing in bums. And everybody's like, oh, just because we're bringing in new faces mean we're better.
So we had a little fun with that call on the back of the Lattimore trade this week. Just, you know, when I say a little, we literally shredded it piece by piece. We went player by player, read all the statistics, and we got some fun. We got some fun feedback. Video channel 5183 says Shane was really Ron Rivera through voice AI. That's funny, Anthony.
That's good stuff.
Eric Huffman 98. Shane probably thinks Lattimore is 34 years old and it was a stupid trade. Tony Robinson 8050. This was funny. It took me a second to realize that there was some sarcasm here, but I did, and I was like, this is good. This is funny. Tony Robinson 8050. Craig, you let these guys off the hook way too often. When you mentioned Austin Eckler's total yardage, you didn't mention his value in yardage as a kick returner. As Chris Tucker once said in the movie Friday, come on, Craig.
Come on, Craig.
Come on, Craig. And, you know, stat correction on Dante Fowler from John Garner, 64-18. Speaking of not letting people off the hook, Fowler and a pick six. because we talked about how he has more sacks than Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
He also has a pick six.
Wow. Shane, I hope you call in.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this feels a little mean to Jahan. I'm going to apologize to Jahan Dotson, but because Jahan didn't ask for this. The Dub Network responded to John's comment about how Fowler's got a pick six.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, meaning that he has more TDs than Dotson.
That's low. That's messed up, man.
That's messed up. I didn't do it. I'm just reading it. And then Mr. Bird 09 did ask, wait, has Shane called back? No. We have not heard from Shane from Watson Hill.
We got to put a bowl out for Shane, man. We got to find this guy. We got to track him down.
Shane! Oh, Shane! What if he called right now?
I'm looking at the phone lines right now. So.
Not getting anything. All right, I promise you, like, one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me to close out Never Read the Comments. Anthony, are you ready for this one?
I am indeed, Craig.
Chipper Daniels, 4685, who I know is Chipper Daniels. That's his real name. Because we went to high school together.
Oh, wow.
Craig, don't know if you remember me from high school, but I came across your channel like a year ago and was like, holy crap. That's Craig from high school. Small world. Love to hear how much you know ball. But first time commenting and just wanted to speak on the pettiness. This is, of course, after the week of Bears pettiness.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fun here and there, but you were always a genuine dude, and I can see that come out on your show. So just stick with being you, and people will respect that the most with some good old pettiness every now and then. Keep the people wanting more. Good stuff, though, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Dang. I ain't gonna lie. Did you shed
cool.
a tear?
I got emotional. I was like, this is cool. That's really freaking cool. So Chipper was one of the coolest kids in high school because we were in high school in South Carolina, and he had the same name as Chipper Jones, and it's a bunch of Braves fans. And it was, you know, at that point, it's the 2000s, but off the end of the Braves dynasty. Sorry, Nats fans. You weren't even around yet. Chipper is a great dude, great athlete in high school, like legitimately was a great athlete, but good dude that I genuinely like was friends with in high school. And, you know, you fall out of touch as you go your separate ways in life. And lo and behold, he's watching YouTube one day about football stuff, and there's my face. And Chipper, thanks for commenting. That meant a lot. That was cool.
Yeah, that's dope.
That was really cool. So that's Never Read the Comments. Typically doesn't end on a feel-good story, but it does this week. Appreciate everybody commenting. You can leave yours at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980, and we'll do this again 5:30 coming up next Thursday. When we get back here on the Team 980, we dive back into the Commanders-Steelers matchup, and you'll hear from Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury as it's time for our Pick 6 at 6.